Broadcasting from the David Price IMAX Center Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Triple 8 702 5494. If you want to check on in with the show on Twitter at Bill is King, and email anytime you want, Bill is King 7, the number 7, at gmail.com. Chris Landry always with us on Thursdays, right here in this slot, LandryFootball.com. We will let you know how you can get his service, whether it's online, whether it's the podcast, whatever he has, we'll let you know how you can get your hands on it. Because if you want football information, if you want the latest, you want the draft, you want recruiting, you want both. Nobody does both of those. They do one or the other. He does both. We will let you know exactly how you can get it, but you do need to know LandryFootball.com. That gets you started. Chris, good morning, sir. How you been?
Still doing well. It's I was telling somebody the other day, this has become with signing day a week from today, it's like the craziest time of year because you got the end of the NFL season, we've got the bowl game starting, we've got coaching searches, we've got signing day next week. I mean, it is just getting hit from all directions, but it's good, I guess. It's exciting, and it's keeping us busy and getting a lot of good stuff on the website and feedback, so we're glad about that.
Tennessee and Florida State looking for offensive coordinators, and they've been looking for a while now. Yeah. Is there anything concerning about that, or is this just taking your time and doing it right?
Well, they're a little different, as I've understood it. Jeremy Pruitt has been searching for what, not necessarily who he's looking for, in terms of would he obviously wants to build the program along the lines of what Alabama's done and what Georgia's done. That's what he's familiar with, is what he knows. He wants to build a tough physical defense offensively. He wants to be able to run the football, but he understands the importance of the modern-day passing game. And trying to find that fit has been, you know, it's been a search of ideas is the best way to put it. There was never anything, for example, to Hugh Freeze going there. Kendall Browse is not a fit. He's not going to hire somebody that's going to basically want to hire his own staff and run an up-tempo offense. And that's not what he wants to do. So finding that right fit, I think, has been, a search in progress. I think he's identified some ideas of what he wants to do, and I think he has some people that he thinks could do it, but I think he has somebody, you know, maybe even a couple of guys in mind, and I think he has a couple of fallback plans. I wouldn't be surprised if it's somebody that's maybe still involved down the stretch in the playoffs. Freddie Kitchens makes a lot of sense in terms of a guy that would be a fit that could do a lot of the things, and he's in the NFL. It would make sense from a timing standpoint, but my sense is that Freddie wants to stay in the NFL as an OC. I don't know that he's going to have that opportunity at the end of the year. So he's not concerned, Pruitt, about the recruiting aspect of it because he feels that that's going well. And he just wants to get the right hire for his offense because this past year didn't go all that well in terms of, you know, what his vision was and what you know, Tyson's vision was. So I think it's taken a while. With Florida State, it has been a bit of a challenge because you got a coach that has an idea, again, what he wants to run offensively. But there's also a real concern about what's the stability level there, and that's kind of hurt that process. And, again, finding that right fit for him it's different than Pruitt, but it's probably there's been more interest in the Tennessee job, but finding the fit's been the issue. With Florida State, it's been more about, you know, what is my situation if I go there? What length of a contract? How long does he have to be there as a head coach? I mean, that's the reasons why, as I see it, they've not been able to secure an OC yet.
What about Manny Diaz going to Temple? What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, Manny's been a very creative defensive guy. I don't know that his teams are all that sound in some regards. I don't know how good of a head coach he's going to be, quite frankly. It is certainly along the lines being mostly defensive guys in this offensive era that they've had there. They've done a good job, obviously, identifying head coaches that grow through that program. So it's made that job very attractive in that it's a very good stepping stone job. I don't think he's as good a coach as, say, Jeff Collins or Matt Rhule or, you know, guys that they've had there before. But I think he has a chance to at least kind of prove himself to be a good head coach, and we'll see what he can do there. They had a couple of other options that they looked at that Don Brown wasn't all that interested. Mike Elko backed out of it, and so Manny was kind of was on their short list, but kind of on the back end of their short list.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com, Thursday edition. We are presented by the Omni, where we're going to have our commitments party next Wednesday on the 19th, which is the 72-hour availability period. Chris, since we are in year two of that, early signing period, I guess I'm warming up to. It really doesn't matter to me either way. I kind of liked it the way it was, but I get it. How has this... Is it better for coaches or worse? Doesn't it cram a whole bunch of stuff in during a time where they're preferring to be preparing for other things?
Yeah, I don't like the calendar at all in college football, how we do it. And I think it's a byproduct of, you know, not having the right leadership at the top, and kind of everybody comes up with ideas and sounds good, and then they try it out. And, here's the thing to me. As a calendar, you're preparing for bowl games. You've got the focus on that. I don't think it's good. Let's just take for coaches. If you got a big staff, you can adjust to it. I just from a big overall college football standpoint, this is where I think they could do things a little bit better and maybe learn from the NFL. NFL's got the calendar right, at least. For me, I would have early signing day in August. Somebody wants to commit early, sign early, get it out of the way, do it before your senior year. I'm not a big believer. I believe kids should wait, but if they do and they know what they want to do, sign. If that school loses their coach, I think they ought to be allowed to reconsider that. Do it in August. I don't think you wouldn't have 80% of the kids sign, but you'd have the ones that want to sign. It would be better for the kids because if they know where they want to go, then they don't have to deal with the aggravation of the fall of, you know, being recruited because signing days, you know, early signing days in December. So do it then. And then I would actually move the signing day in February back to like the end of February, early March. And here's why. I think you got all of the things we're talking about. What about coaching changes? If you have a coaching change right now for whatever reason, you're dead in recruiting. I mean, it is impossible. You lose an entire year of recruiting. So to me, you know, you're starting to make a change and you basically have to sacrifice that first year because it is one thing to try to scramble and get a class done in February. Try doing it to get it done for next week and you just made a coaching change last week. It's just not a good way to do business. And to me, make it early in August. It would be a great calendar, something to talk about before the season. Hey, here's some guys. And then make it to where you can focus on football now. And then you got the reason why I'd move it back about a month is it would allow for these, when these coaching changes are made, you maybe could make them sometimes even maybe after the bowl games, make a coaching change if that's what you want to do, and still have time to put together a class. That's me. Now, I can tell you that coaches from that standpoint would not like the fact that, you know, they've got to recruit a little bit longer, and then it would take summertime away, June and July, and make that, you know, a little bit vacation time away from you know, if you had early signing day in August. That's my view on it. Then, of course, my feeling is I think that we mess up the whole college football calendar in December, because I think we could make the bowl games a whole lot better by incorporating and putting the best teams in the bowl games and then picking the two teams or four teams after the bowl games. I think December could be, for college football, what March is for college basketball. But we focus on football season from, you know, last week of August to, you know, September all the way through December, and then the bowl games January 1st, and then we can have a little bit more of a celebration of the whole recruiting process to make it a little bit more of, you know, the draft now has become a big type of a season where people grapple onto it. I don't think a lot of people have time to really focus on the recruiting end right now. I mean, the hardcore fans do, but I think you could increase the profile. That's my view on it. Probably went on a little too much there, but got it off my chest.
No, no worries. I wanted to hear that. Give me a couple of minutes here on Mike Locksley, but bringing up Butch Jones, et cetera.
Well, you know, Mike obviously has that background in that whole recruiting area. He's going to build a recruiting staff. He's going to bring the DeMatha coach there with him. Butch, as you mentioned, you know, head coaching experience, what have you, administrator that can help things. What you'll help Mike on some things organizationally, regardless how successful a guy's been the head coach, when you've been one, there are things that you know. Mike, of course, has been a head coach in his own right. So I think he will recruit well. I don't know how well it will work. I think how he puts together the rest of his staff is going to be key. You know, I can tell you this, they're very excited about it because they feel it's one of their own, and they feel it's somebody that can kind of, you know, it's somebody that everybody can gather around, because obviously it's been a tough, you know, 12 months over there with all the off the field situations, and everybody's kind of excited about it. In terms of an on field coach, I think Mike's improved and gotten better. I don't know that it'll be a great success. To me, it's a lot different. They're in the Big Ten. It's going to be hard to make a lot of inroads there. I think you can do a better job than has been done there. But, you know, I don't look at it as, you know, boy, they're going to be start challenging in the East. That's the tough ladder to climb over Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. You know, can they get to where Michigan State is? Maybe from a recruiting standpoint, they can challenge it, but I don't know from a coaching standpoint they'll ever be better than maybe fourth or fifth in the East.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris, tell everybody what you provide there on LandryFootball.com.
Well, we kind of keep things up to date as they're gone. So a lot of coaching search stuff, you know, daily that we've got going on there. We finished up all of our bi-conference, our recruiting class evaluations going into signing day. So who's committed, kind of an overview, how they're graded in terms of, we got a color grade system that kind of corresponds to what you'd normally see, 5-star, 4-star, but there's a reason why we do it a little differently. It gives you a view of who's done well to this point in each conference, and then obviously the list of the players that they have committed to this point. And then when it's signing day's over, then we'll do a complete evaluation, because we'll have in complete form, at least to that point, who has signed, and we'll give the complete scouting report on the classes and obviously the players. So we keep an update on that, our recruiting notebooks, obviously all the bowl games. We're going to break down every bowl game. So we've got all of Saturday's bowl games that's starting up, broken down inside the film room, and then we'll do that for every other bowl game. And obviously, you know, keeping everybody updated who's participating in the bowl games, who's coming out early in the draft, all the NFL stuff breaking down. Obviously, the NFL's in their stretch run, so it's almost like a playoff field now. We're breaking down all the games. So a lot going on at LandryFootball.com. We've got a holiday special, so it's a great time to get involved as well. Also, we're starting something, a War Room newsletter that is free for everybody, and all you got to do is go to the website and click on it. You can find it on the War Room. Click. All you got to do is send your email, and we're going to start it out if we can get everything worked out from a technological standpoint, starting tomorrow, that we'll have it going out, and it'll be some inside information a little bit, as well as an update on what's going on the podcast and on the website. So it's free, and it's a good way to kind of reward listeners of this great show and our listeners to our podcast. So check it out at LandryFootball.com. Follow me on Twitter at LandryFootball.
Great stuff, Chris. Appreciate you, man.
Hey, thank you, Bill. Take care.
LandryFootball.com. There he is, Chris Landry.
Passenger, another crash on Old Hickory Boulevard at the I-24 entrance. The I-24 I-40 Eastern split is slow, so is the I-65 I-24 Northern split north of Trinity. Vietnam Vets is slowing near Gallatin Pike. ICU Security specializes in surveillance camera installation and service. Check out their website at ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Question. When you walk into the boardrooms of the most successful companies here in Tennessee, who do you meet? When you're working for a mover and shaker with strong ties to our community, who are they? When you encounter a group of people eager to roll up their sleeves, who are you most likely to work with? Answer: men and women who played high school sports. Education-based high school sports give us more than athletes we can root for. They give us leaders we can depend on. Taking the initiative. Being a good teammate, sacrificing personal glory for the greater good. These are qualities we expect of our leaders, and they're all being cultivated in the high schools right here in Tennessee. Question: so where will we find tomorrow's leaders? Answer: high school sports.
This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
You know David Price as an all-star pitcher for the Red Sox, but you may not know that David Price has teamed with Dr. Smithson to deliver non-surgical orthopedic care at his clinic in Murfreesboro and Cool Springs. Dr. Smithson is a board-certified sports medicine physician and former team doctor for Auburn University. If you're looking for a second opinion for your knee or hip replacement, contact the David Price Center at 615-678-0014 or visit davidpricecenter.com.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-parking. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell from Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com. Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
Triple 8-702-5494. If you're not on Twitter, at Bill is King. But if you're not on Twitter and you want a link to the commit miss party, so you can get the special rate of $149 at the Omni, provided by Music City Todd. Just let me know on email, billisking7@gmail.com. Before I get black here, Buckeyes favored by 6.5 now over Washington in the Rose Bowl. Georgia minus 12 over Texas. And I'll get a few more of these to you here in a second just to update them. Black, what's happening?
Hey, have you ever had a chance to put Urban Meyer's coaching record, win percentage up next to Chris Peterson, man? It's pretty remarkable, man.
I don't know if I've ever juxtaposed those two. We do know that the Pontiff is right now 82-9. You imagine
85, let's include those three. You was out 85-9.
Oh, is that are they only giving him? Okay, I didn't even realize that. Why wasn't even thinking of that? Can you imagine if you would have told fans that at the end of 7 years he won't have 10 losses?
Hey man, listen. Let me ask you something. Can we easily say he's the greatest coach ever in the Big Ten? Because I want you to consider something, Bill. He totally raised the level. You know how they say high tide raises all ships? Hey, man, when he came up, I remember, I'm a big D'Antonio fan, but he was mad because Irv went in there coaching some of his commits, and, like, they had a gentleman's agreement in place in the Big Ten before he got there. Irv, like, I don't acknowledge that. You know what I mean? The Big Ten rolls up to another level, and that's due to him.
Now, yeah, Black, you're right. Remember when he got in there, one of the first things he did after that first recruiting class was take a shot at the rest of the league because it was just a mired, boring, nobody was really competing for big-time stuff league at the time.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, bro, I'm looking at Penn State. When I'm sitting up there laughing on that drop you all use, I'm not talking about Michigan. Y'all think I'm talking about Michigan? That was about James Franklin and Penn State. And then the next year they came out and beat us, man. So I'm looking at what they got coming in. Hey, it's not going to be popular. It's going to remain popular in the Big Ten, you know. But let me ask you this. So let's look at Michigan versus Florida. From an athletic standpoint, I haven't looked at Florida's roster. Are they athletic? Because Dan Mullen, I know he can pull some stuff that can manipulate and outfox Don Brown's defense. But what type of athletes do they have right now? Because I know McElwain is a horrible recruiter. So what are we looking at right now?
Are you there, Black?
Yes, sir.
Sorry. My headset was popping there. Well, let me put it in relative terms for Florida. This is a Florida team that has found its physicality again. Coach Mullen has gotten that done. Is this a team full of Florida-level athletes running out in the open field? Not in numbers. Now, they've got athletes. It's Florida. They've got players, but not like when they're right. Not like when they're elite. So I think roster to roster, player to player, I think they're pretty close. I think the matchup is close. I think it's going to be an extremely physical game. This will be one of the more physical bowl games, if both teams want it now, that I think we'll see.
Okay, what about defensively? What do they have defensively?
They're pretty active and athletic up front. They're not overly physical at the point of attack with bodies, okay? Their back group's pretty athletic. They've always got good DBs, and linebackers are solid. One of their linebackers is better than solid, but they're good. I don't know, and again, they play in different leagues. Michigan's defense was ranked a lot higher than Florida's this year. They probably got some bigger names on that side of the ball too, but I think they're relatively even.
Okay, yeah, and when can we just all accept that I've been right? Because it's so funny. Now, everything I've been telling you for the last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months to a year, everybody is now saying. And what I was saying about Don Brown's defense, I respect the man, dude, but that them numbers is fake, man. Y'all got them against tomato cans. And what I was saying about Harbaugh, I ain't got to jump on you this offseason because Urban Meyer been acting stupid. But I'm coming back to you, man. But everything I say, I look like the genius that I am, man, right? Go ahead and give me my props right now.
Every time you come at me with a Harbaugh thing, I'm going to create a new a new Urban Meyer thing to offset it, okay?
Yes, sir, man. Hey, yo, have a good day, man.
All right. See you, man. Nothing like Black, man. Nothing like him. LSU in Central Florida. LSU's favored by, what's the latest number? I'm looking at a 7. I'm looking at an 8, actually. Yeah, I think that Michigan-Florida game is a very physical matchup. That's what I'm looking at there. Penn State and Kentucky. 6.5 Penn State. Mississippi State's favored by 7 over Iowa. A&M, 8.5, NC State. Jimbo can get them to 9 wins in year 1. I think that'd be a really good start. Missouri and Oklahoma State, the over is what I'm looking for. It's 73.5. I'm not saying it's something you ought to do. It's just what I'm looking at. Who else do we have here? Pittsburgh and Stanford. 6.5 Stanford. The Cardinal favored. Cincinnati minus 5.5. Luke Fickell over Coach Fuente. Minus 5.5. Clemson is still sitting there around 12. It started at 10.5. Sitting at about 12 right now. Oklahoma and the Death Star, 14. That has been a very steady number. Sitting there at 14. South Carolina, Virginia, minus 4.5. Gamecocks favored by, as I mentioned, 4.5. Michigan is favored by 7.5 over the Gators. West Virginia, Syracuse. That thing's been, the total has been bet down. Started at 74. I'm looking at 68 right now. Minus 1.5, West by God, Virginia. The game that's going to be played here, Music City Bowl. Auburn and Purdue, War Dam Eagle favored by 4. Vanderbilt, Baylor, Vandy favored by 4. Miami, Wisconsin, Miami minus 4. Leaving anybody else out, anything of big substance, nah. Anyways. Wake Forest and Memphis, Memphis by 3.5. Let's get the bottom of the hour break. We're coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
A crash on Old Hickory Boulevard at the I-24 entrance. White's Creek Pike clogged north of OHB and a collision in Maple Crest near the three-way stop at McGavick Pike. I-65 North packed north of Trinity. I-40 East is crawling at the eastern split all the way to Briley Parkway. It's also slowing at OHB, which is affecting the flow on Central Pike. The U.S. Air Force has more than 200 career options. Aim high, the United States Air Force. Log on to airforce.com. I'm A.J. Rose with your on-time traffic.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-755-6390. That's 800-755-6390. 800-755-6390.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet, the back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look, and I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fundays, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Rain, the word across Music City today. Slight chances morning, high 59. Bigger chance tonight, 48 below. Or showers Friday, high of 56. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Bill King is the king of college football, and his sample size is large. Just ask him.
We will get the next break a little earlier. The coach, I think, Charlie told me I tweeted 7:30. The coach is 7:45. So my error there. But we'll get it a little early and then get him in here. Coach Mark Hudspeth with Austin Peay, APSU, this morning. They contacted me, wanted to know if I'd put him on. I said, sure, sure. We're nice people here, man. We're here to facilitate sometimes. 888-702-5494. And on Twitter, at Bill Is King. Commitment's coming up next Wednesday. I hope you folks could come. If you're flying up, we can get you a special rate at the Omni, $149, which is literally theft. That's how cheap that is. $149 is the rate at the Omni. Tabs is, we've already had one, I don't know if I'd call it cancellation, but can't make it. That'd be Tabs. Tabs has got things happening back home up in Chicago. She cannot come. But she's been here a bunch. She's come down here so many times. So we're okay with Tabs. It's all right. But, yeah, we've got your special rate. You need a link to that now, so let me know. If you need it on Twitter, we'll put it there. If you need me to email it to you, billisking7@gmail.com. Just email me, and we'll send that to you. We will get there late Tuesday afternoon, the 18th, so next Tuesday, and settle in. A lot of you are flying in that afternoon, so I'll have the presidential suite available. We can hang out a little bit. Charlie's staying over as well. He's got his own suite, so we'll have a good time with it. And then the next morning, we'll do the show from Bar Lines. We'll feed you breakfast. The breakfast is free. That's right. Do you need a name? Do you need to be on a list? Do you need some kind of ticket? Or No. You don't need any of that. Just come on in. We'll feed you breakfast at the Omni, and the bar will be open. That was a request by Jim in West Palm. He said, Bill, will the bar be open? We checked with Todd. Todd said, yes, it will be. We'll get that done. We've got a bartender coming to Bar Lines that Wednesday morning. So if you're so inclined at 6 a.m., they'll be right there waiting on you. The bar will not be free. Yeah, we can't do that. But the breakfast will be. The non-alcoholic portion will be for everybody. Yeah, Gator Mike says, Bill, Tabs would be the first decommit for the commitments party. I think you're right. Maybe there have been some, you know how you have prior, what was I trying to say? Quiet or silent commits or decommits. She's the only one that's public right now that I know of. If there's one that's private, then they're keeping it to themselves. So we don't know. But yeah, Tabs is a public decommit for our big get-together. Bowl games coming up. Recruiting. Let me pull up the recruiting rankings. I don't know that we've looked at that here recently on the show. Have we? I don't think so. Let me pull that up. I've got it right here in front of me. Number one is the Death Star. I'm sure that you're quite shocked and surprised about that. Death Star on the one slot, and they still have various five stars they're waiting on with a good chance to get them. Georgia in the two position. Aggies are number three. LSU four. How about that? Coach O number four. LSU number four. Clemson number five. Texas six. Ducks are seven. Boomer Sooner eight. Buckeyes nine. And the Irish are number 10. Notre Dame number 10. After that, Michigan. And there are those rumors about Daxton Hill out there. I cannot substantiate any of them. Auburn 12. They got the Noles number 13 right now. Is that right? Penn State 14. Washington 16 is Jeremy Pruitt. Mississippi State 17. Arkansas 18. Ole Miss 19. Florida 20. Nebraska 21, the Tree 22, Gamecocks 23, so on and so forth. We can keep going, but that's what your list looks like right now with the recruiting rankings. And who you get plays a big part in how many of those games you actually get to win, right? Stars do matter. Anybody who tries to tell you they don't matter probably represents a team that never get stars, so they have to have that angle. Stars matter. They're not perfect. Saying stars matter isn't saying they're perfect, but they do matter. Crappy recruiting class, not ranked, typically won't overachieve. There are exceptions, but on average, don't try and sell that's the way to go, because that way of doing things probably will not yield the fruit that you wish that it would yield. Just probably won't. Coach Mark Hudspeth coming up here in just a second. Tell you what, Charlie, you want to take the break here so you can be ready? We could do that. Okay. We'll do something very rare. We'll take an early break. It's the Thursday edition. Tomorrow, Brad Powers will be with us. Looking forward to that as well. Omni Nashville Hotel.
At Harding Place, a wreck on the ramp to I-24. I-40 East has a stalled car blocking the left lane just before the Fessler's Lane exit. I-40 East is slow from the eastern split all the way to Briley. White's Creek Pike is slow north of Old Hickory Boulevard. I-65 North packed north of Trinity. Vietnam Vets is slow but steady across Gallatin. See some of the prettiest digs in Music City, fully lit aboard the Redneck Bus Christmas Light Tour. Find your tickets at redneckbus.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business, and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches, plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30. Catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
Nashville's Nutcracker returns to TPAC's Jackson Hall as Nashville's favorite holiday tradition. Witness the wonder live as Clara is swept away to a winter wonderland with the Nutcracker Prince. A magical snowfall in the audience and nods to the city's past are sure to delight the entire family. Nashville's Nutcracker runs December 1st through 23rd. Tickets are available at 615-782-4040 or nashvilleballet.com.
Pickers Vodka is now available in ready-to-drink Pickers Crafted Cocktails.
These cans come in four varieties, each featuring a different Pickers Vodka flavor. Visit your local retailer today and pick up a four-pack of Pickers Music City Mule, Porch Picker, Lemon and Blues, or Honky Tonk Hurricane for your next tailgate. Pickers Vodka.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and we are kicking off our look at the top 16 NASCAR Cup Series drivers of the 2018 racing season. This week, of course, we're going to start at number 16. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday, all off-season long, right here.
Hi, this is Eric Jones, driving the number 20 Toyota Camry, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
Like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap every single weekday, right here.
While working, he eats kale and pets a cat. Bill King is a multitasker.
Omni Nashville Hotel. 888-702-5494. Twitter at Bill is King. And if you want to email us, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. We've got plenty of hangout time rest of the way. We're waiting on Coach Mark Hudspeth to call. Set it up for around 7:45 this morning. So we'll get to that. But other than that, we have plenty of hangout time if you'd like to get involved. Whatever you would like to opine on, as long as it stays within our solar system. Yeah, keep it within our solar system. I got to tell you, this past weekend, I watched more college basketball than I anticipated. And I enjoyed it. I'm shocked. You know, you find out things about yourself. I'm shocked. Tennessee and that Gonzaga game, that was a hell of a game to watch. I enjoyed that one. I watched a couple of other games, too. Kentucky did not look so good in that Seton Hall game. Ended up watching that one. But Little Hoop was actually enjoyable, which, again, I have trouble through the years with the overwhelming dominance of college football. I have had trouble balancing the overlap with college basketball. I've not been able to do that well. Basketball gets put way back on the secondary list with the overlap of football. And then, if you think about the overlap of football, which includes recruiting, now maybe this early signing period, I'm just saying maybe, I haven't thought this out real well, maybe this early signing period, which we're in year two of this, will help basketball a little bit, because is Feb, is that day as big as it used to be? Well, not with numbers. Not with numbers. So, maybe that'll help some, because recruiting does hurt. Football recruiting does hurt college basketball, the overlap there. It's just another item taking away from basketball. Now, all the games are still on. I mean, if you're a junkie like Jeff up in Chicago, you're going to watch it anyways. But maybe it helps some. We'll see. We don't have enough stats. We don't have enough data to really know how that affects one or the other. We just don't. But, yeah, I watch some basketball. I'm not embarrassed of that. I've said this many times just to go back. When I got started in the late 80s, college football and college basketball, popularity-wise, were pretty close. Now, football's still football, but pretty close. Through those 30 years, I'm in this approximately 30, probably 31 years now. So 30-plus years doing this, being in this business. Since then, since the beginning, when basketball and college football were relatively close popularity-wise, college football has routed college basketball since then. Absolutely routed it. Secretariat at the Belmont, circa 1973. That's what we're talking about here. But I'm trying. I'm trying to make a comeback. There was a time when I enjoyed college basketball almost as much as college football. There was a time. I don't remember exactly when that ended. It just kind of morphed. It just kind of bled over that way. But, boy, hopefully I can get it back someday to where at least I'm enjoying it more. We'll see. I'm trying this season, though. This season is where we get our big start when it comes to that. We're waiting on the coach, Coach Mark Hudspeth. Was supposed to call us at 45. And I don't get, Charlie, we haven't heard yet, right? Nothing new? Oh, okay, we got it. There he is. The coach of Austin Peay State University, Coach Mark Hudspeth, with us. Bill King Show. Hey, Coach, how you been?
Hey, we're doing great. Bill, how you doing?
We are good. Couple questions just right out of the chute. Will you do both jobs at one time, Mississippi State, Austin Peay, or are you leaving?
Well, we're trying to work through that right now. That's, you know, the ink's still wet, you know, obviously on the contract here, and just informed Coach Moorhead about 24 hours ago that it wouldn't be returning for the next season. So still working all those details out. Should know something probably within the next couple of days.
Reason why I ask is we're year number two in this early signing period. And now when coaches take new jobs, typically in December, right? I mean, you are literally up against it 24 hours a day, aren't you?
No doubt. And like I said, with signing day next Wednesday,
yeah,
really less than a week away, obviously time is of the essence. And so obviously I won't be back there on their campus until after signing date. Luckily, that bowl game is later in January the 1st, and so bowl preparation really won't even start for about a week before then. So, and that's a dead period. So that would work out if we end up do coaching in that bowl game. But the primary focus right now, obviously, is Austin Peay signing date, early signing date, and trying to put together a class and also making sure, you know, we're not going to rush it because you got the second signing date coming up in February, and there's always a lot of great players that a lot of times fall through for one reason or another.
I know your head's spinning here, so some of these questions are not going to be specific answers for, but when you take over a new job, particularly now mid-December, there's already commitments, and for the audience, he cannot be specific until they sign, but in general terms, we can talk about it. Do you simply honor all of those, or do you say, okay, well, I've got my own fingerprints, and I need my guys?
Yeah, that's always a tough situation.
Right.
And the way I always look at it is this, you know, these recruits, and we've got some coming in, you know, on the weekends, they've got to get to know me just like I've got to get to know them. They may not want to come here after they get to meet, you know, the new staff. And obviously we've got to get to know them, and we've got to look at what fits the future of how we see our program offensively, defensively. And, you know, it's got to be a right situation. And if it's not, it never works out good for either side. You know, as a player, you want to be where you're wanted. And obviously as a coach, you want players that are going to fit what you do. And I'm sure there will be some that I'm sure that we're going to like once we evaluate that we feel like fits what we do. And there's probably going to be some that don't. But the best thing about it is if we feel like we're not quite ready to make that decision next Wednesday because we hadn't had enough time to get to know a young man, then we've got all the way to February to pump the brakes and get to know that person a little bit more. I think the relationship part of it is so critical. Just like you wouldn't hire somebody walks in the door here in the next 3 minutes and says, hey, I want to work here. And you say, hey, come on in, take the spot right over here. You want to get to know that person. And that's critical in any business athletic program. And we're going to make the right decisions. And sometimes you have to make tough decisions.
What have you learned spending time with Coach Moorhead?
Well, I know a lot of things. You know, one, he is an outstanding offensive mind, and I think that's well documented with the success he had at Penn State and really the success, you know, we had here. He took what the talent we had at Mississippi State, which really was not built to throw the ball an awful lot, that's what he likes to do, tweaked it, and was able to basically lead the SEC in rushing. And I just thought he did a great job. He's a player's coach. The kids love playing for him. And I know he was really good to me, really good to our coaching staff, and he hired a great staff. And And I just think he's going to do an outstanding job in Mississippi State.
What's it like going against that defense down there every day?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've seen a lot of good defenses. That's one of the best ones I've been around. And Bob Stoops is one of the best defensive coordinators that I've been around also. So he really did a phenomenal job pulling that defense together in 1 year. That's hard to do now. He had to teach that defensive scheme, his concepts to that group of guys, and within a few months, within 6 months, and then they were the number one defense in the nation. When I say that, I mean, you know, that's in the nation. That's above Alabama. And so, you know, they had an outstanding defense, and I was really proud to be a part and see that take place.
Coach Mark Hudspeth is with us. He's the new head football coach at Austin Peay. Just while I've got you talking a little college football, you guys played a tough schedule. You're obviously in the most difficult division, I think, which is the SEC West. When you take this Alabama team top to bottom, and then you historically categorize them, at least teams you have seen, Coach, where would you place them to date?
They would be up there pretty good, obviously. And I think everybody would probably agree with that. They're an outstanding team, and they're hard to beat. But, you know, they've done a good job recruiting, and that's what Coach Morehead is really committed to there at Mississippi State, is trying to keep those guys in-state at home in Mississippi. Because here's the gist of it, okay? Last year, the state of Mississippi, you know, they played the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star game. Mississippi won the All-Star game pretty handily. Now, Alabama in the past also has had their turn, too, quite often. They're really good also, don't get me wrong. But what I'm just trying to say is if Coach in the state of Mississippi could keep their players, just their players, in-state, then I think that would close the gap. What's unfortunately is a lot of the Mississippi high school talent leaves and goes plays for Mississippi, for Alabama. So if they could get those players to stay home, I think they would definitely close the gap. But it's a lot of good players to go around, and that's why I like where we're at here at Austin Peay in this recruiting area. Great players here in Tennessee, so many great players in Mississippi, Alabama. It's a great recruiting area, a lot to offer these young men, and we're excited about Governor football for the future.
I'll let you out the door on this one, Coach, and you just touched on it, but maybe a little more specific. Talking about how you weigh who you're going to keep, who you're going to take, who you will evaluate, them meeting you, relationships, all that. How will you weigh in-state kids versus your connections, Mississippi, Louisiana, places where you've recruited?
You know, it's always been important to me to give the local, your home state guys the opportunity first. Because, to be honest with you, when they line up and they're playing for their state, to me, that's always – they're always going to have a little more pride in their state, playing for their fans, playing for their people, playing for their state. And so we're going to, you know, our number one priority is to recruit the state of Tennessee, period. And then from there, we'll reach out to secondary recruiting areas within our region and within our footprint. And then obviously take a transfer or two that we feel can be difference makers. But we're going to recruit the state of Tennessee heavily. Obviously, there's so many great players in the Nashville area also, and you know, there's such good high school football in this state, then I just think that we can really build it, the core of our team with Tennessee high school football players.
Coach, congratulations. Look forward to seeing your team.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. I appreciate you having us on. Let's go, Pete.
There you go. Coach Mark Hudspeth, the new head football coach at Austin Peay State University. Yeah, he was down there with Coach Morehead this last year. Coach Bob Stoops, ironically, Tennessee's defense a year ago obviously fell to pieces, right? Goes down to Mississippi State. He becomes coach of the year. Bob Stoops. Lots of things broken up there on Rocky Top that Jeremy Pruitt inherited, right? Hour three. Man, we're just barely going here, man. Hour three's coming up. Omni Nashville Hotel.